Hey, everybody, it's Eric Clark with Mega Brands and the Dynamic Brands Equity Strategy. It's Tuesday, April 16th, after the market closes. And I wanted to leave a quick note on a core holding that reported earnings today, Louis Vuitton, out of France, and in a key dominant brand, the Mega Brand in the luxury goods category. And this is a category, a spending category that will always be part of the strategy, because there are more and more wealthy consumers that love aspirational, hard to find goods. And Louis Vuitton, LVMH, symbol LVMUY, is by far the leader in that category from a revenue perspective and a brand relevance and recognition perspective, right up there with Hermes and Ferrari. So, you know, a reminder that some of the key brands that are owned under this umbrella of LVMH is Dior, LVMH, Louis Vuitton, Tiffany, Bulgari, Tag Heuer, Sephora, DFS, Celine, Fendi, Marc Jacobs, Guerlain on the perfume and cosmetic side, Givenchy, Acqua di Parma, which is, I personally have that as a cologne. I can't take any credit for that. Somebody smarter than me gave it to me. But, you know, Hennessy with Veuve, Moët & Chandon. So lots of great brands under this category. Fashion and leather goods, select retail, watches and jewelry, wine and spirits are the key to this. Now, you know, the stock's actually fairly cheap relative to itself and the peer group, about 25 times this year's numbers, 22 times next year, 20 times 2026 versus about 31 times in the peer group. So, you know, their core customer is a wealthy person. They are fairly recession resistant, which means that this business is wonderful, you know, in generally in good times and bad. And in tougher times, the stock might go down because it's a stock, but from a business perspective, wealthy people just keep on spending. And the marginal addition to these brands comes from the aspirational consumer that kind of trades up when they're feeling good and when they have money in their pocket and they have good job security and they're making money in real estate and in their stock portfolios, et cetera. You know, because of inflation, that aspirational consumer has been pulling back a little bit, because in part just because of inflation, but also because of some price increases that have happened over the last couple of years. So, you know, in some cases, it's pretty impressive that they had such a good quarter, up 3% on organics, 20.7 billion euros. And that's with the aspirational consumer, you know, not as active as their core customer. So they will return, because these hard to find one of a kind assets are always going to be in demand. And in some cases, when you raise prices, it just drives more demand, because we love what we can't have. So we reach for it. Just looking at, you know, where the business, you know, has the exposure, just looking at my notes here, just to get the correct US 23%, Europe is 15%. That had about 2% growth. The US had about 2% growth. Japan up 32% growth, which is about 9% of total revenues. I'll talk more about that in a minute. France, 7% of revenue in their home country. Asia, 33% ex-Japan. And then other markets are about 13%. So what was interesting is they saw the Chinese consumer traveling in Japan fuel really strong Japan growth. Plus, the Japanese economy is doing pretty well. So that area of the world really picked up the slack from Smothers. Again, US was a little bit slow, particularly because of the aspirational consumer. You know, but over the last 5 years, the average growth has been about 10%, 16% in the fashion and leather, which is a core driver of the business, as well as select retailing. And Sephora is really, really strong, creating interesting discovery opportunities for consumers. My family, that's their favorite place to go. They don't like to go to Ulta. And you see it in the Ulta numbers and in the Ulta stock price. It's gotten pounded a little bit as places like Sephora take some market share. So, you know, strong overall, and I wouldn't necessarily consider it strong. You know, we're not talking about NVIDIA type of growth. We're talking about stable, predictable growth in a really important, really stable core investment category like leather goods and luxury goods overall. So you can expect this category to always be present in the portfolio. I have a hard time believing we would ever sell LVMH. We've owned Ferrari and Hermes in the past. We have a little bit of Hermes. Both of those two stocks are much more expensive with much slower growth than LVMH. But they're wonderful brands nonetheless, particularly in Europe. So just want to go through some of the style factors because that's important. You know, we've talked about in inflation, you know, when the price of things stays higher for longer, interest rates stay higher for longer, the cost of capital is higher for longer, that puts pressure on the average company. So not every company thrives in that environment. So I'm not sure you should own every company. So be very careful about owning too many ETFs or too many stocks in a world when the average company is not performing as they could or as they should. And right now in this kind of environment, you know, really anchoring to the quality style factor, going up in quality, up in size, aka market cap, balance sheet strength, pricing power, all of those things, one feed into the theme of the definition of being a great, highly relevant brand, but also in particular with LVMH. So when I look at our screener, which has all of these factors all in one, which is wonderful to look at and be able to compare and contrast different industries and different brands, 91 percentile on the large category. It's an enormous company. 87% on the high sales, which is what you want. 83% on the high margins and good pricing power. Really respectable top quartile sales growth as well as dividend growth at 70 to 80%. Really strong operating efficiencies at 96%. So on a one-year basis, the change in operating expenses has been really good. So they are managing their business really well through arguably a more difficult inflationary environment. That's what you want to see. That leads to strong management teams. Actually, a positive change in momentum, 93%. So this thing, you know, was lagging and has started to inflect higher and looks really attractive to purchase on, you know, at the current price. 87th on stable, predictable earnings and sales growth. And then, 83 to 87%. So you really have some good metrics in really important categories or style factors for the current environment. So, you know, the last thing I'll end on is, you know, and this doesn't just apply to LVMH, it applies to all categories. So every business has their core customer, right? And then during certain parts of the business cycle, different customers outside of the core get pulled into the business model. Now, if you're a TJX and you operate in the discount apparel and home goods, in higher inflationary periods, when consumers are tightening their belt and trading down, you're going to pull in people that are outside of your core customer. That's a good thing. That's why we own TJX and O'Reilly Automotive to some degree, because people might be forced to you know, not trade up their car or trade in their lease and buy it out, or maybe stretch for a used car rather than go buy a new car where the prices are, you know, really, really high right now, which is why I don't want to own any auto manufacturers right this minute. So within LVMH, you have the core customer, which are wealthy people all around the world, aspirational. You know, they love luxury goods. They love leather and fashion. They love, you know, really expensive, gorgeous timepieces and jewelry through Tiffany, et cetera. They love shopping at top tier retail like Sephora, but you also have this aspirational consumer that tends to trade up to LVMH when they feel good. So in many cases around the country or around the world, including the US right now, because of inflation, some people in the US aren't trading up to certain LVMH products, right? So they had a wonderful, you know, $20.7 billion quarter, but it wasn't as strong a growth as we've seen, you know, through the last 2 years, because some of that aspirational customer, particularly in the US, has pulled back a little bit. Now, they will return. We know they'll return. They always return when they're feeling better, when inflation pulls back, you know, for whatever reason, when they're feeling a little bit more saucy about spending a little bit more money on some things that they really, really want. So that's the source of potential future beats when that customer returns. And you're seeing it in some places selectively outside of the US, particularly with Chinese consumers outside of China. Overall, inside of China, the average consumer is still struggling, because when they closed the economy and locked people in their houses, they didn't pay them the way the US paid consumers. I'm not going to judge whether that was smart or whether that wasn't smart, but Chinese consumers draw down some of their savings, and they are they're big savers in general, but they did draw down some of that savings, and their economy still isn't humming to a great degree. But when they're traveling, you know, when you're traveling, you're on vacation, you like to splurge a little bit. And there's a lot of travel from China to Japan, and those consumers spent really well in the first quarter in Japan. So that's going to, you know, every quarter is going to be different. But overall, I would say core business strong, stable, predictable. We will eventually get the aspirational trade up to go back into LVMH, which is driving a source of future beats. But at 25 times, when normally the luxury peer group's about 31 times, the valuation is attractive. The stock chart now looks attractive. And, you know, on the out years, 2025 and 26, you're talking 20 to 22 times earnings for a stable, predictable business with great free cash flow. And they will continue to make, you know, acquisitions where appropriate. Gets harder and harder at this scale. The ones that they probably want the most are probably not available to them. Think Hermès in particular. They tried that once. If you haven't listened to the many podcasts about LVMH's attempted takeover of Hermès, it is a wonderful, wonderful listen. I think it was Business Trends, or I forget the name of the podcast, that just talked about the potential takeover of Hermès years ago. But any event, it was a great one. So long story short, we maintain exposure to that theme. It will always be there. I suspect it will always be LVMH and some others, but LVMH is a core, and it's a big buy on dips in this current environment. Thanks a lot.